Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
The Prime Minister said no problem with doubling our national debt, adding more debt than all previous Prime Ministers combined because interest rates, he claimed, were low. Well, his same spending has actually increased inflation and interest rates. Yesterday, the Finance Minister was unable to answer how much Canadians are paying for interest on the debt that she has racked up. If a mortgage broker couldn't tell you the interest payment on a loan, he'd be fired. So why is the finance minister not fired for her inability to answer that basic question?
Everything that comes out of that place is for our consumption now. It's not for them to answer. It's for our consumption because the election campaign is on. It's on. It's on. And the sooner the better. I think the majority of Canadians would be saying that. What is very interesting is what Canadians had to say to Ipsos Public Affairs about what the most important issues are for the budget that's coming up later on this month. And I think by extension, what Canadians are listing as the most important issues for the budget will also be the most important issues for the federal election. Let's talk to our very good friend, Sean Simpson, the vice president of Ipsos Public Affairs, and Ipsos conducted the poll for Global News. Sean, thank you very much for joining us. Would you agree that what Canadians are saying they want from this federal budget that's coming down in a few weeks or days is also by extension going to be, with a few changes likely, the list that Canadians will expect from politicians come election time?
No, I'd say so, because the solution is not going to happen overnight, right? These issues will still be with us, and the primary issue here that Canadians are saying should be the focus is affordability. The number one issue for the budget, according to Canadians, is help with the increasing cost of everyday expenses. 44% of Canadians had that among their top three. Healthcare is number two. It's usually number one, so the fact that it's number two is, you know, tells you that something else is up. And then the third issue is a reduction of personal income taxes. 33% put those reduction of taxes among their top three issues. All the rest are significantly further down the list, but they are all pocketbook issues: freezing the carbon tax, reducing government spending, the deficit, cooling the housing market to make housing more affordability. You know, there's a theme that comes from this, and that theme is help. Canadians want help with what they perceive to be an increasingly unaffordable country.
Well, it is. And I wonder, how is it Canadians want this help delivered? Because for the politicians, that's going to be the magic formula. If they can persuade Canadians, any of them, can persuade Canadians that they have the formula and the intent to provide this relief from rising cost of living, they're going to do fine. But how will the politicians convince Canadians that they have the formula?
Well, and that's the tricky part. And the means differs a little bit based on what party you support. So if you're a Conservative supporter, you're much more likely to believe that relief comes in the form of tax cuts. So freezing or reducing the carbon tax, reducing personal taxes. If you are on the more progressive side of the equation, you know, according to this poll, it just says help with increasing costs of everyday expenses. So that could be incentives or subsidies or, you know, whatever other means government has at its disposal, like bringing the grocers, calling them to account and seeing what they can do there to reduce prices. It's really up to the politicians to figure out the how, but the message is clear: get it done and do it.
Then it becomes an issue as well, Sean, as you know better than I, because you talk to Canadians on a regular basis. It's believability. So number one is help with rising cost of living. Number two is invest in healthcare. Three is reduce personal taxes. Four is freeze the carbon tax. Five is reduce overall government spending. And six is reduce the deficit. We've become a nation of doubters, and I include myself, obviously, among that crew. I'm very, very doubting of folks who wind up in the national government or, you know, in the building. And we've almost become, too dependent on political parties and politicians when they've proven to us repeatedly that far too often they're not going to provide the relief that we want. So again, we come back to the issue. Here's what we want in the budget. You can tell us anything. I guess they can say anything they want in the budget. It's not going to be very long until there's an election. So it's all part of the – would you agree that it's all part of the election process, which is underway already?
Oh yeah. We're definitely and part of the reasons that we're into that election process already is that the Liberals are running out of chances to change the narrative, right? You've essentially got two different levers at your disposal where people are really paying attention and you could have a major impact. One is the budget. And the other is speech from the throne. So if this budget doesn't do it, I think kind of the last ditch attempt for the Liberals will be to prorogue Parliament and have one final speech from the throne where they can reset and hopefully take back control of their narrative. Because what the Conservatives have done, and you were saying people doubt whether action will be taken or what those actions are and whether they'll be effective. What Polyev has done that is clever is he's channeled all of his energy into the carbon tax. And it's very, very clear in the minds of many people, you know, particularly conservative voters, what he's going to do. He's going to tackle the carbon tax. Liberals have been, you know, now announcing over the last week or so different measures to reduce to increase housing supply or try to reduce demand. But, you know, that those people know that that takes a long time to happen, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, action to reduce or freeze the carbon tax, you know, can pretty well happen overnight. And it's rather unfortunate for the Liberals that, you know, the newest increase in the carbon tax essentially just took place. Right. So if the Liberals are on one hand going to present a budget that they're trying to demonstrate that they're the ones that are best able to provide relief to Canadians. But just, you know, last week we had an increase in carbon tax. That they've lost a little bit of credibility there. I think the timing is unfortunate for them.
Well, it's also unwise. I mean, they had plenty of run up. Mr. Trudeau also had precedent where he removed the carbon tax from heating oil, home heating oil or heating oil in Atlantic Canada, refused to do so in the Prairie provinces. He could have just said, okay, we're going to just pause this thing for a couple of years. But then the cynics would have stood up and I would have been among them. Who would have said, sure, you're going to pause it until a year or two after the federal election, and then we'll really get hammered. It's very difficult, is it not, for any political party? And we have our favorites as we head toward an election. We should do this based on our research. But it's very difficult for political parties to engage in a narrative with Canadians on what they're going to do. And particularly, again, Sean, when only 60 to 62% of Canadians, eligible voters, actually bother on election day, no matter how energized they may be a week or two before.
Well, I think that's why some of the parties, you know, essentially take the tactic that they're going to, you know, sort of set the narrative, do what they're going to do, and hopefully Canadians will respond to it rather than the other way around, trying to take cues from what Canadians are feeling. But, you know, what's clear here is that, you know, Justin Trudeau, and I think this has really been the case since probably about 2019, because I'm fairly confident that if the pandemic didn't happen, Trudeau would not be prime minister. That from a public opinion standpoint, that saved him, you know, it bought him another couple of years. But, you know, spending all this time on carbon tax and green energy, if we look down our list for priorities for the federal budget, support for transition to greener energy is 10th on the list.
And 10%
of budget priorities. At
10%.
You know, virtually every other issue that we test about, including investing more in Canada's armed forces, is ahead of it. So, you know, I think the Liberals have struggled to channel the priorities of Canadians, perhaps spending a little bit too much time trumpeting their own priorities. And Canadians have sort of come to realize that maybe the Liberals are a little out of step as a result.
Out of time.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and out of time, yeah.
10 years is about it. And it gets to the point where you – I have a very good friend who's fundamentally a liberal, but more the traditional liberal, not the Justin Trudeau liberal. He would have been a Paul Martin liberal, mm-hmm. who said, every time I see this prime minister's face on television, I get upset. Isn't there anybody else in that government who can get up and speak? And Mr. Trudeau's created the environment where he is the Liberal Party. And to a certain extent, so has Pierre Poilievre, but Poilievre does have others going out and speaking. Now we're seeing Justin Trudeau everywhere every day. And when you're down in the polls, then I don't think that's a very sound strategy. We're getting off topic here. I'm getting off topic.
It is a little bit strange, though, that, you know, earlier on in the tenure, you'd see certainly Chrystia Freeland and others more prominently. And it just sort of had this sense of collaboration and openness. But you're right. As people become more negative about Justin Trudeau, it seems to me that the strategy is, his strategy is to be more front and center, I guess, to try to, you know, convince people to change their minds. But it's not working. I mean, our latest poll shows that the Conservatives are ahead by 18 points and that Justin Trudeau is essentially acting as an anchor on his party. And as a result of taking up all the airtime in terms of caucus members, there is no clear heir apparent. You know, we don't have a Paul Martin de Jean Chrétien situation here. And I think that's hurting the party because people are struggling to envision what life will be like for liberals after Justin Trudeau.
Much better. Sean, it's always good. I couldn't resist that. It's good. It's always good talking to you. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Roy. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Sean Simpson, Vice President of Ipsos Public Affairs.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.